Welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the purpose of the church. And the reason I want to mention this is I picked up a book the other day. Now, somebody had handed it to me a while ago, and I picked it up, and the foreword, I think, was by Rob Bell. So, you know, it's going to be the depth of theology there. And I started reading it. Now, it is a book by an atheist who visited a bunch of these different churches in order to illustrate what the Christian community is doing good and not good and things like this. And I think it was somebody handed it to me because, of course, I visit a variety of different churches, and I've been to some really good churches and I've been to some really bad churches. I mean, I was at one recently and it was, I believe it was a Methodist church, and the minister there, they call them ministers, not pastors, and the minister there, after he takes the collection, he goes over and there's this altar with a gold cross and a stained glass window of Jesus, and he begins to hold the plate up and offer up in prayer the offering to either the cross or the picture of Jesus. I'm thinking, I think you missed that first commandment about not making any images in my likeness, because the stained glass window of Jesus is not accepting your offering. So I bring this up to say there are some churches that are really good. And by the way, I've been to some churches on this trip around that are like, this is like as near a perfect church as one can get. Now, there is no perfect church, of course, but as you look around at what makes a church successful, and not just what does it make it grow in numbers, because anybody can grow numbers. Beer and pizza on Friday nights, you'll grow your numbers all you want. The question is, how are people responding to the gospel and to the church and to Christ in the midst of it? And I've seen some really good churches, and I've seen some really bad ones. And what struck me about the introduction to this book is the guy says, well, the reason you should read this book is I'm an atheist, so he's a professed atheist, and I want to tell you who's doing right or wrong because I'm your target audience. I'm the person this church is here for. So the underlying premise of the book is that the church is there to bring unbelievers in and to make them Christians. The entire foundation of the book is 100% wrong. And of course, that's where Rob Bell was coming into it as well, is where he's kind of doing the same exact song and dance about this nonsense. It was absolutely, like, the only reason I'm going to keep reading the book is to see how absurd it actually gets as we move from the introduction into the content of the book. But it begs the question, what is the purpose of the church? Because the church does not serve a purpose to be there for the unbelieving world to come in and become Christians. Of course, an atheist thinks that's the purpose of the church, but I think that the Christian publisher who greenlit that book, whatever editor that was that brought that thing on, he needs to have his salvation checked. I say tongue in cheek, of course. I don't know who the editor was or the publishing company. It's not one of the huge ones, but the principle being is that this produced this popular book, which again, built itself under the foundation that the church is there for the unbeliever. So first we're going to establish, is there a purpose of the church? Because I know that there are some people that think that the church itself doesn't even serve a purpose. And I'm just going to highlight three. There's dozens of verses. I'm just going to highlight three just to illustrate that, yes, the concept of a church is present. James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. Obviously, you're calling on elders of a church. Okay, Titus, for this reason, Titus 1:5, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order all that remains and appoint elders in every city as I've directed. What are you appointing elders to? The coffee shop? No, it's the church. The church is there. Romans 6:1, I commend you, our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Canaricia. So, and there's hundreds. Just do a concordance search for church. Of course, the Greek word is ecclesia, which is the gathering, the fellowship. Of course, in Antioch is where we first see the word Christian show up. So the concept of a church is all throughout Scripture. Now, I do reject the modern Americanized or maybe Westernized view that we have to go in and we have to be members of the church and sign a covenant document and all this nonsense. Bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of nonsense. The church is there to build up the believers, but I'm going to establish that a little bit better. So what is the purpose of the church? I pulled out a couple of different verses. Again, there's dozens and dozens of verses, but I pulled out a couple just as a point of discussion. In 1 Corinthians 5, 9-13, I wrote in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean immoral people of this world or the covetous or swindlers or idolaters, like those who offer up offering plates to a stained glass window of Jesus. For then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what do I have with judging the outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? For those on the outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. So the first principle is to encourage one another and keep one another purified in the law. In this case, of course, he's talking about the man who was sleeping with his, I think, stepmother. And he's like, dude, no, you have to call that out. That is a sin. So the next principle here in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. So who were together? Those who believed. That was the church. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with all as anyone might have a need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to the numbers day by day those who were being judged. Again, it is the gathering of believers. This is illustrating the church is there for fellowship and to help one another in their common needs. All right, but then it goes on, Acts 14:27. They had arrived and gathered the church together. They began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. So in this case here, it is a gathering of believers. This is what the church is, the gathering of the believers. It is not the gathering for the unbelievers to come in. And we're going to talk about that in a moment here in between this and our last principle. 1 Corinthians 14:23-25. This is a little bit more of a controversial one, but we'll go ahead and mention it. If the whole church assembles together and all speak in tongues, and the ungifted men or believers enter in, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all and he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and all will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Now, the reason that's controversial is it brings up the idea of tongues. Tongues is not speaking in some angelic babble. Okay, that is not what tongues is. It's all throughout the scripture. The concept of tongues, you see it in Pentecost and early Acts. Everyone was speaking not in some babbling gibberish. Everyone was speaking in the languages of all of the people. Remember, at that time was a gathering, it was a feast. Jews were gathered from the four corners of the Roman Empire. They all had different languages and dialects, and everyone was hearing in their own language. It was a reversal of the confusion of the languages that caused the human race to actually go out and populate the earth that we find in Genesis 11. That being said, the reason I bring that up right here is this is the one verse which mentions the fact of unbelievers coming in. And it's not build your service so unbelievers come in. It's if an unbeliever happens to come in. So the church should be open and welcome to an unbeliever coming in, but you don't gear it towards them. Okay, think of it as a college professor. I used to be one of those crazy people. Okay, you go into a college classroom and I'm there to teach chemistry, 8 a.m. chemistry. Come on, guys, you got to get on board. I did it though, and I live 30 miles from campus. I had to get up at 5 in the morning and drive an hour over a mountain ridge through the snow to grandmother's house. I go with coffee to teach an 8 a.m. chemistry class. If I go in and a psych major comes in, I don't start gearing the class towards the psych major who's not the chem major, not the science major. major. I don't start gearing the class. I don't soften the language because a psych major showed up. He just happened to show up, but I'm there to do a job, and that is to teach the science majors about chemistry. That is my job, and that is my purpose, and that is the purpose of the church. It is for the believers, not for the unbelievers. Now, let's talk about that little in-between portion I wanted to mention here. I have been to many churches which think that their entire purpose is to preach an evangelistic message such that every message, now I think the Daily Walk was 2 weeks ago, I think, was about the one where I go into the church, had this misteaching about lying that I mentioned in there. And the entire church, and the last couple times I've been to that church, I've been there a few times, the entire thing was a theologically soft message that just turned into a giant evangelism thing. That is not the purpose of the church. This is not an evangelical gathering. The purpose of the church is to bring everybody in, to teach them the solid word of God, to prepare them to go into the world. Do not turn your church service into an evangelism every single day. Your purpose is to teach the believers more in depth than they can learn on their own. That's why you have all these advanced knowledge in the Bible. It's not to turn every single message into a soft, choose Jesus already. Come on, choose Jesus. Raise your hand if you've chosen Jesus today. It's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to build it up. So here is the three principles I have for the church. It is for believers, not for the random person that jumps in, that comes in off the church. Okay, it is for believers. It is to build them up, because as believers, we are promised persecution from the world. It is this place where we can go and we can be safe from the nonsense in the world. Sadly, that is no longer the case. It is to train them. What are we training them? Well, we're training them in the scriptures. We're training them what our true belief is, and we're also training them in evangelism. It is the believers that go into the world to evangelize, and when they find someone that says, I want to learn more about this, this is when you bring them in. You don't go out there and have this program and bring every non-believer in, so every Sunday, nobody gets any sound teaching of the word of God, and then what they're going to do now is just turn everything into a soft evangelical message that nobody gets any theology, because you can't possibly talk about theology. There might be someone here who doesn't understand it. You don't worry about the guy who doesn't understand it. Your purpose is to build up the believers. Third is to exhort the people. This is from Hebrews 10. I didn't actually pull the verse out, but the gathering is to exhort one another into good works. Okay, it is to strengthen us. It is to empower us. It is to give us the strength to sit down and say, look, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to help you to walk your Christian life in obedience to Christ. That is what the principle is, and that is what the purpose of the church is. So stop talking about having this unbeliever. In fact, I was reminded reading this book that John MacArthur had said in a sermon called Attack on the Word for a Ligonier conference in 2002. And he says, if you want to know about Christ, you don't go to the unbelievers. Okay, I don't care what this lunatic atheist has to say. Okay, the church is not for him. He's not the target audience. And the entire premise of the book is completely false. And the fact there are Christians promoting this book built on the false premise is in and of itself the danger that we have in the church. So keep that in mind. The purpose of the church is to build up the believers, to teach sound theology, to teach and train in evangelism and other works of the Christian life, for us to go into the world, not for us to just get everybody into church and let the pastor do an evangelism every Sunday, because then the church never grows. And that is why Christianity in America is extraordinarily soft and weak to this day. So there is what I have to say today. End rant. Thanks for watching. Have a look at the website, ourwalkingchrist.com. I actually have some stuff over there about actually training yourself in sanctification, which is God's will, of course. Now, what is God's will? Your sanctification. It's a verse in scripture. All right, yeah, have a look over there, ourwalkingchrist.com. With that, thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkingchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.